Did you literally make a friend?
Yeah, I poured some of the magical real butter on a stick, and I named him Sticky.
That's very original.
He's a prophet. He can, like, prophesize things.
What are you talking about?
He can, you know, like, predict stuff. You know, it's kind of cool. You want to meet him?
I guess we have to, yeah.
Okay, let me go get him.
You're listening to the Real Butter Buttercast, folks.
Where am I?
Huh?
Well,
hello, Sticky. This is Theodore.
What is this contraption? Where is the voice coming from?
Oh, I see that Poppy has not explained to you the ways of the world yet.
What is happening?
Oh my god.
Would you like to hear a prophecy?
Yes, yes I would.
I prophesize that there will be rain!
Alright, well,
Wait, like when? Like... Now or?
Soon!
That's not very precise.
I'm not really good at this. I don't really care about rain. I live inside. It doesn't really matter. Can you do something, like, cooler? Like, something more, you know, interesting? You kind of, like, let me down, man. Maybe
like
a friend.
Yeah, like, world events or you know, when someone will die or something. Something dramatic.
You were born! At some point in time, you were born.
Well, that's kind of a given. Everyone's born, idiot. God, you're kind of stupid.
Where did you find this stick, Poppy?
I should have named him Stupid the Stick. Jeez.
Well, that's rough. He is only a newborn, I guess.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He'll get better. So, Theo, what's new with you?
Okay, so I don't know if you remember, but last time when we talked, I was living in an abandoned sitcom set here in Hollywood. But, of course, there are security guards, and things got a little chancy. So I took a little hop out the window, cut myself a little bit on the way out, landed in a rose bush, a few more scratches there. I was kind of jogging down the street, suffering a bit of blood loss, kind of sort of passed out. I don't know how it happened, but I basically woke up in a boat.
I prophesize that the boat was on water.
Well, actually, no. It was in someone's backyard.
It was in someone's backyard.
I guess it was in the water in the past, so.
You just said what he just said. How is that prophesizing anything?
I knew it before. I forgot.
You forgot?
Yeah, he can see the future, but he forgets things.
So is this normal? Is this a stick?
Hey, man. He seems a lot friendlier than you are, so.
I think it's just because he's stupid and he doesn't know who you are.
I prophesize that Poppy will kill you.
What? A bee? I'm not allergic to bees.
No,
How would that happen?
He said that I was going to kill you.
Oh, wait. Poppy or a bee? I thought he said a bee.
I prophesize that Poppy will kill you with a bee.
What?
Why are you telling him this? Why did you? I gotta think of something else now. But don't say it. Don't tell him.
What the heck?
What am I gonna do with this bee? Man, I had it in this. Oh, I think it's dead. Maybe I should have poked some holes in the jar. Sorry.
All right. Well, let's start the show, shall we?
I prophesize that the
show... No, I don't want to hear anymore. Stop it.
You shut up. I prophesize that the show will start right now.
Oh, very good.
Real.
Butter.
I see dead people.
I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually a thing. I'm a being.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
Maybe it'll all just go away. Like a bad dream.
I doubt it.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Still coming to you from the entirely empty employee break room of the quiet and quarantined Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor locked-down American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
And I am Theodore Theater, coming to you from sunny Los Angeles in the back of a rotten old boat in a stranger's backyard.
And I'm Amanda LeBlanc. I wasn't sure if you were done yet.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't sure when you were going to be done, so I just kept waiting.
Well, thank you. Yes, yes, everybody. Today's episode will be called Happy Max and Mad Feet. And we'll be doing a unique episode, a sort of real butter, non-comprehensive retrospective of the filmmaker George Miller.
What a guy. Very diverse. What a guy.
And we've all seen one of his films, or more.
I saw The Witches of Eastwick, and I also have seen Happy Feet. I didn't get to see the second one, which I'm really upset about. I was really excited about that in the last episode, and I couldn't find it, and I don't want to talk about it. I'm just mad.
Oh, it's on HBO.
Theo, what did you see?
Okay, well, I watched my favorite little series, the Mad Max. There's four of them. Beginning with 19, I watched 1979's Mad Max, 1981's Mad Max 2, 1985 Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and of course 2015 Mad Max Fury Road.
That's a lot of Mad Max, man.
I love Mad Max.
My parents made me watch all of them when I was a child, and they scarred me.
Oh,
I don't think you should watch those as a child. It's kind of gruesome.
I mean, I was probably like 13 or something. I don't know. These movies are so great. They're classics. They're amazing. And then I watched it. I was like, why would you make me watch that? It's like the most... I mean, okay. Anyway.
Didn't like a kid like die in that in the first movie? Like
yes,
a baby got like ran over?
Like horrifically.
Hey, let's show this to our kid.
Anyway, I watched Happy Feet, which given my current state, I don't know if it was the smartest decision because it just made me really emotional about babies and... I was sobbing within like the first 2 minutes. So
that's remind me, this is about the tap dancing penguin. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, specifically one tap dancing penguin who can't sing, which is apparently what emperor penguins normally do.
Right.
This one cannot sing.
So this is a documentary?
Yes. No. Yes.
I mean, we all wish so, but no, definitely
it's,
not.
Wait,
animated.
What?
But also using real like it's like it has some non animated elements. And I'm not really sure what exactly. I mean, I know it had satellite images of the Earth.
And then it had people, like human beings.
It had
right?
like real people. Yeah.
Yeah. Like at the end, it had like some humans looking at them. And they're like, whoa, they're aliens.
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. Well, for me, I just kind of dove into The Witches of Eastwick. Like, just had no idea. I got to say, what the heck? I honestly don't know what the heck was going on half the time. I'm pretty sure Jack Nicholson was in there. Pretty sure he was supposed to be like the devil. And then like there were three witches, but they never really established that they were witches. They just kind of like, I guess it felt like I was watching the second movie to something, like the sequel to something, because it felt like it was already established that like they were witches, but they never really dove into that. It was just like assumed. But it was very like nonchalant, like, whoa, I'm floating now. I didn't know I could do that. And that was like the whole movie. Like I feel like I was on like an acid trip or something.
Well,
apparently based on John Updike's 1984 novel, The Witches of Eastwick.
Maybe it was because they like trimmed it down for the movie.
Yeah, it could have been.
I don't know. But it was hilarious just at the fact that I felt like I had no idea what was going on half the time. It was entertaining. You know, there was like a big like monster version of Jack Nicholson at the end, which was fantastic. Scary.
I think it's just Jack Nicholson.
It was just him, but like blown up.
He can do that.
He's an
amazing actor. Yeah, so that was another bizarre
choice.
George Miller.
Yeah, that's I'm still somewhat speechless about the whole thing. Just, I don't know what I saw. I guess. Go watch it. It's fantastic. You'll love it.
Good for you, Peter. Good for you for going out there and doing it.
Yeah, I'm really pissed off that I couldn't see Happy Feet 2. I've never seen the sequel, and I...
Well, maybe we can do a sequel to this episode.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen Happy Feet 2 either.
Although, sick.
not a lot of people did, apparently. That's sort of a sad story.
I didn't know it was a thing.
I just learned today, I was reading about it, I didn't have time to watch it, but I was reading that Brad Pitt and Matt Damon played gay Krill. Which...
That's an
interesting sentence that I've never said out loud before. No.
Gay Krill. I'm going to say that. I love that.
And apparently they're the best part of the movie. And they're like existential Krill, which is also great. And the parts were originally written for Stephen Colbert and John Stewart, but they couldn't, their schedules did not allow for them to actually film the role. So we got Matt Damon and Brad Pitt, which is funny. I don't know why. Like, we can't get Colbert and Stewart, might as well get Matt Damon and Brad Pitt, you know? Like,
yeah.
Have they ever been the second choice for anything?
Plan B.
Let's just grab the biggest movie stars in the world real quick.
Yeah. Instead of, like, these two obscure, like, cable news, like, satirical news anchors.
If you two quit this show, I'm going to hire Brad Pitt and Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll do it.
Yeah, that's...
They don't have enough to do right now.
It would be good second choices.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's nice.
Well, yes, George Miller... Born 3rd of March, 1945, in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, is probably most well-known for the Mad Max franchise, although obviously he occasionally nips off to do animated movies about dancing penguins and sort of witches, and also he wrote the screenplay for Babe.
What?
And he directed the follow-up sequel, Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, I did like that movie.
This guy is so diverse. This is weird.
Yeah.
Well, you know, clearly he's good at both everything, you know? Not just terrible. Terrible, I mean, like, terrifying movies.
Right.
But also, like, happy children's movies.
Happy Feet movies.
I mean, although watching Happy Feet as an adult now, I was emotional.
So, in a way, I was thinking that Happy Feet and Mad Max, which are both co-written by him and directed by him, have a similarity in that the hero lives in sort of a desolate, treeless place. And, okay, no, it's, I'm
sorry. Yeah, I mean, Antarctica doesn't have trees.
Post-apocalyptic Australian outback.
But not really, because Mumble, the penguin, said tap dancing penguin, named Mumble, he goes out in search of fish. So in order to feed his entire colony of empire penguins from Emperor Land, and Mad Max just wants to watch the world burn because he's on a trip of vengeance.
Okay, so I would say in the first Mad Max, he's definitely on a revenge situation against the gang that does terrible things. I won't spoil it.
Terrible.
At that point, so in Mad Max in the first one, it's not really the post-apocalypse yet. It's just sort of the world, but there's been... like sort of a breakdown, and there's a gas crisis, so everybody's sort of murdering each other for gas.
So it's pre-apocalypse.
Yeah. Things are bad, but they're not, like, all the way yet. And Max is part of a kind of a police force that patrols around. So there's still some structure, right?
Right.
And then by the time of Mad Max 2, which is a couple of years later, I think I've heard three, some people say 5 years later, this is... more post-apocalypse. Like, the structure is completely broken down. There's roving bands of marauders, and Max is kind of, he's more like a cowboy in an old western who wanders into town, and there's people who need his help, and he helps them, and then he leaves again at the end. You know, he's like the really hardcore guy. And this is definitely more like a science fiction movie. And then Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, which is one of the best titles ever, happens 15 years after that. It was made only 4 years later, but it's set 15 years later.
So wow.
The world is in an actual post-apocalypse. Like, there's actually been a nuclear event, and all the kids are growing up in this nuclear world, so there's irradiated things and whatnot.
Ooh.
And then he didn't make a Mad Max movie for 30 years.
It'd be like that sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
So
that's called Fury Road. I guess he was originally supposed to make it with, Mel Gibson, but time went on and there was delays, and Mel Gibson got too old and crazy, so they got Tom Hardy instead.
Same thing. Just throw a mask on him.
Yeah.
So how many years later was that set from?
Well, see, that's a little ambiguous.
Oh.
it's kind of just in the Mad Max world. And personally, I would say that since Tom Hardy doesn't look particularly old, that I would say, I would venture a guess that it's actually before Beyond Thunderdome sometime in that ambiguous period there.
Okay.
Matt has a few kind of flashbacks to people he's lost along the way, one of whom is a little girl who calls him daddy or father or something like that. So that could be a child of his or just somebody he helped along the way. It's very ambiguous, but gotcha. I don't think the director really cares. That movie, I think, is possibly the best, which is really weird that it would be the fourth one. But it's just an insane car chase from beginning to end. Amazing soundtrack. Charlize Theron. Theron? Like a heron? She's fantastic. She's Imperator Furiosa. Apparently there's a planned spin-off movie with just called Furiosa. Mad Max Furiosa. That's supposed to come out in 2022.
I'm down.
Is that the honest chick?
Are you surprised that I'm a huge fan of that tribe of women in Mad Max Fury Road?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not.
They're amazing.
Then break out of their own captivity. Oh!
So yeah, cool. They're the heroes of the film, really. Max just helped a little bit.
He helps them. Well, for most of the movie, he's strapped on the front of a car.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, he's mostly there to look pretty.
With a mask on.
Yeah. Tom Hardy, you can do it.
Honestly, yeah. All right, so
my Mad Max summary, and right now I just really want to buy a leather jacket.
You know, you should.
Spikes on it. And
since you're homeless, I definitely think you should buy a leather jacket.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the back of this boat.
I was going to say, you could probably find one. It might not look great, but you'll have one.
No, I mean, it smells terrible in here, but as far as I can tell, the owner is not home, so I kind of have this whole backyard to myself.
Right, let's not talk about this on the air. That's definitely illegal. Amanda, what would you...
give out the address. Come on.
Amanda, what would you rate Happy Feet?
Well, I haven't even talked about Happy Feet. Am I just rating Happy Feet?
Just rate it, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, I think it's like a 4 out of 5.
Dang. Okay.
I think.
Cool.
I don't know. I've actually bought the movie instead of renting it because I think I'll probably watch it again. And I watch it now as an adult versus when I watched it the first time as a kid. And I probably watched it several times as a kid, but it's just fun to see like the references that I understand more now than I did when I was a kid. I really liked the movie and I understood. I knew what some of the songs were, but to know all of the songs and to like Mumble, his parents are named Norman Jean. And Memphis, and they are obviously like their voice. It's Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, and they're obviously, you know, imitating Marilyn Monroe, whose original name is Norma Jean.
Hugh Jackman?
And,
what?
Yeah, and you know, Hugh Jackman is mimicking Elvis Presley.
Oh my.
Memphis.
Gosh, what?
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Whoa.
And they do all their own singing, which Hugh Jackman has been on Broadway many times before, and Nicole Kidman has sang. Most notably, in my opinion, in Moulin Rouge.
Wow. I'd never looked up the cast before. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, and I remember liking, this is going to make me sound weird, but I remember liking Happy Feet back in the day because of Elijah Wood, which I think I mentioned last week.
Yeah.
Because I was a huge Frodo fan. Like, I loved Lord of the Rings in middle school. And I read all of the books a million times and watched the movies a million times and was obsessed. So, I watched it specifically because I was like, wow, Elijah Wood, you know, amazing. Mm-hmm. And then to watch it later now and to like recognize his other voices was really cool. And I didn't know Robin Williams has two voices in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ramon and Lovelace.
Huh.
And, you know, it's always great to hear his voice. He's a magnificent voice actor.
Right?
And
not surprised he has two voices in there.
Brittany Murphy plays the love interest, Gloria, which she has also passed away. And she had a really great singing voice too. So just kind of like nostalgic, you know, for like a different time.
Fantastic cast.
But I thought the mother was going to die. I couldn't remember if she lived or died. And I was like sobbing at the thought of this mother dying while her egg was being watched over by her husband. So,
Really hits home.
Yeah, it hit home. when she came back, I was like, oh my God, she's alive. Like this cartoon penguin I was so obsessed with. And Mumble, I don't know. I think that's a great movie, especially for kids, like to show that even if you're different, you know, you're still special. And the thing that makes you different is what makes you special.
Aww.
And I think that's a really sweet message, because Mumble is the only one who could save his penguin family, because he his special tap dancing skills, which, you know, all of the penguins thought was abnormal and gross because he can't sing. You know, that's what led humans to find Emperor Land and realize that they were cutting off their food supply of fish. And then, you know, they got fish then. And people all over the world were watching this tap dancing penguin like, oh, we got to save the penguins. So
I never,
a little bit,
wow. Like,
huh. What?
I know. I never, I mean, I was so young when I watched it. I never even understood the plot. Honestly,
right.
I'd Same. Never even, that's like reading, that's like listening or watching a new movie. At that point, I had no idea that was the plot of the whole movie.
A little bit, like, it's a little bit unbelievable. I mean, obviously, it's unbelievable. They're tap dancing penguins, but he supposedly he's so angry that these fishing ships don't care that they're taking all the fish that he follows them from Antarctica to Florida. Which, you know, I don't know if this little penguin could really swim that far, and he just washed up on the beach and then just put in a zoo.
He did, though.
And then. Like, I don't know, like, how, you know, you see him start tap dancing in the zoo exhibit, and everyone's all excited about this tap dancing penguin, but then the next scene is, like, he's back in Emperor Land with, like, a radio transmitter on him, and they're like, he's like, I think they're gonna come and find me, because they have this radio thing on me, and it's like, how would you, what? You know, like, and then, like, the people show up on a helicopter, and they're, like, watching, and all of these penguins decide to start tap dancing, and, you know, they all, like, know the same sequence, you know?
Yeah, it's like a musical. Yeah. They all just burst into song in unison.
And then you have someone, they're like, what are the penguins trying to tell us? And this guy's like, I think they're taking their food supply. How did you know that? What belief did you have to make in your mind to go from, well, they're tap dancing, they're hungry. You know? Like, I don't know.
I mean, if I saw a tap dancing penguin, I would immediately assume that it's hungry. It's like, it's not doing that for free.
I would just be like, wow, that's really cool. I wonder if it knows it's tap dancing.
You wouldn't reward it? You monster!
Yeah. So,
speaking of tap dancing, did you know that the great dancer Savion Glover was the co-choreographer of the dance sequences?
Oh my gosh!
And, yeah, and he did the tap dancing for Mumble.
Oh,
it was motion captured. And he even wore a head apparatus that looked like a penguin's beak.
Oh my gosh!
That's fantastic.
I was reading about the movie today, and I read that. I can't remember what it's called, but like the fancy shoes that tap dancers used to wear with like the three buttons on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mumble has three little dots on his feet that are meant to mimic that, and he also has a little bow tie pattern on his chest and his fur. And it's a reference to Fred Astaire.
So adorable.
And I also read, which I thought that, I mean, I have a great fondness for Prince, and his song Kiss is one of the first songs sung in the movie, and it's where Mumble's parents like fall in love, and at first he denied permission to use the song Kiss, and it's like the perfect song, you know, for like this moment, but then after he watched the movie he let them use the song, and he wrote an original song to the credits.
Oh my gosh.
Which won him a Golden Globe Award. So he like loves the movie so much he was like, oh yes, also I'll write you a song.
Wow.
So, see, even he liked it.
Yeah, I mean, if Prince likes it, you know it's a good movie.
Right.
Just be their fellow.
Obvious reasons.
So,
great.
Yeah, all in all, highly recommend.
What a diverse movie review this week.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
Unified by their...
Also, guess who else is in? Guess who else is in Happy Feet?
Who?
Steve Irwin.
What?
Yeah. He's one of the elephant seals, or whatever they're called.
Oh my gosh. My gosh.
Yeah.
The crocodile
hunter. It actually came out the year he passed away. The movie.
Poor taste there.
Poor. Then he was another character too, which was cut from the movie. But then they ended. He had done his voice part, and they had never animated it because they just decided to cut it. And after he passed away, you can find it on the DVD extras apparently. But they animated the scene as an homage to.
Oh, to him, that's great.
Which is sweet. Yeah.
Well, if you want a good cry, go watch this movie, I guess, and the extra scenes.
I will say what you want about George Miller's kind of his odd taste in going all over the place. His heart's in the right place.
Well, yeah, you know, he's not like bad in any of these movies, you know, like, I mean, Babe is like a classic.
Right.
Happy Feet is really good. All of the Mad Maxes are good, which you can't really say that about any sort of, I don't know, I mean, what other, like, series can you say that about where they just committed sequel after sequel, where every single sequel is amazing, you know, in its own right?
Yeah, you can't say that about a lot of movie sequels.
No, there's always one that's like garbage, you know?
Right.
At least
one, yeah, that's garbage.
So.
Fantastic.
And also, he kind of looks like an instructor at Hogwarts.
I thought he was.
Like, he's got white hair, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's sort of gray hair, but it's his little streaks, and he's got little circular glasses and, you know, scarf and stuff. He's got a little twinkle in his eye. I think he's definitely teaching Hogwarts.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I just kind of ducked down for a second. There's a neighbor walking by.
He's probably in the movie.
In the Harry Potter movie?
Yeah, yeah. For all we know, he probably helped direct it or something. I don't even know.
Involved in some way.
Yeah. Wow, great. So I guess we're going to watch Happy Feet 2 next episode. Can't wait.
He also directed a segment of the Twilight Zone movie in 1983.
All right, we'll watch that.
He's done a lot of stuff in Australia to help Australian production and Australian animation and things like that. So good guy.
Fantastic. Good guy.
He was also supposed to direct a Justice League film back in 2007.
Whoa.
But because of the writer's strike back then and this and that, he didn't do it.
Oh, is that where Armie Hammer was supposed to be Batman?
I believe so. But then The Dark Knight just came out and it was very popular, so they just didn't nick that.
Dang, dude.
Yeah.
Blow my mind!
And then he was supposed to make several more sequels to Fury Road. But there's been this like 7-year lawsuit between his company and Warner Brothers about a $7 million bonus that he was supposed to get for getting the movie in under budget or something. So even though he has scripts for at least 2 more Fury Road movies and the Furiosa movie, they're just kind of waiting for that to finish up. So that's kind of annoying.
Just pay the man.
Pay him.
Pay the man.
Good Lord. Fury Road is considered one of the best movies ever. Yeah. It was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah. That movie made me stress like not a lot of movies do.
Yeah. Oh,
the
absolutely.
Entire movie. Just right? Like sitting there just like, ooh.
If you want to stress out, just get that soundtrack and play it.
Oh, God.
All day.
Nope.
All right.
I don't know why you would want to do that. I can't imagine a scenario where you would want to freak out all day.
Oh, yeah. I want to listen to a soundtrack today. What shall it be? Fury Road, how relaxing. My choices are Fury Road or Psycho. Which one will relax me the most?
You know, maybe go every other?
How about Happy Feet?
Yeah, Happy Feet. All right, Butterheads. Okay. That was a variety of movies. Go watch every single one of them now, right now.
And then record your own podcast.
And then join us. And then we'll have a big community. It'll be great. All right.
Stay safe, everybody.
Yeah.
We're gonna cut to commercial now, and then invent something else.
All right, and commercial break. Right about now.
The real butter cast.
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming! 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Editor? Amanda?
Hello?
Hey, guys. So, what y'all been watching? What you been streaming during these days of quarantining?
Top Chef.
Top Chef?
Only Top Chef.
Who's your favorite chef?
Tom Colicchio. He's the head judge. He has like 6 restaurants in the U.S.
Good grief.
And he's bald, and he's like 6 years old, and I think he's great.
Is he nice to the contestants? Is he encouraging?
I mean, he's encouraging. He's tough, but encouraging. I'm on like season 14. Okay, I watched like a lot of Top Chef.
How many seasons are there?
I watched like the first four seasons a while ago, maybe a year ago, and then I stopped watching. So I started on like season 5.
Okay.
And so I've watched season 5 through 14 like straight.
How many are there?
Within the last like, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks.
Wait, I go
through these phases, you know, where like I only watch one thing.
How many seasons are there?
They're airing the second All-Star season right now. So there might be 18 seasons,
oh
maybe.
My God.
I know, I'm almost there. How exciting.
What are you gonna do when it's over?
Oh my God. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have to find a new show. Although I still have like, I'm behind like one season on Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is one show that I enjoy, but I can't watch it all the time because it makes me angry sometimes because they have so much and yet they're miserable, you know? And then it's just like, well, you shouldn't be miserable. You have everything, you know? So I can't watch like huge amounts of wealth all the time. And especially during this pandemic, I don't know if that's the best choice for me, especially since I've unfollowed pretty much every celebrity and influencer I followed on Instagram. Because I can't stand them right now. So it's like, oh, we're all in this together. And they're, you know, posting it from their pool in their 10,000 square foot mansion.
Man, this sucks. I'm in quarantine. Like, dude, you're in like a small suburb right
now.
You're
in a resort.
Yeah.
You're literally quarantining in your own resort that you own. And you're not worried about money. You know, I live in a very small apartment. Granted, I am moving very soon. But I live in a very small apartment. I have no outdoor space of my own. Do you know how excited I am just to be able to sit in my front yard in a lawn chair and just be able to sit in grass, and it's my own grass, and, you know, I don't have to worry. Like, I have big windows that look out. I'm on the ground floor, so they look out onto the grass, and I have waved at so many people walking their dogs past my window since I work from home now. You know, it's like, you know how excited I am to not have to do that? Like, have my own garage. You know, this is what I'm excited about. I don't need to see you sitting in your mansion crying about how awful it is. It's like, you want us to trade places, you know?
Man, I'll tell you, this quarantine's so bad, I had to move mansions. I'm in my second one now, man.
I mean, literally, that's what Ellen DeGeneres has been doing for the last...
Oh my gosh. Ellen! Ellen! Come on.
This is my Monday mansion, and this is my Tuesday mansion.
Well,
I like to rotate through. I don't like to see the same 19 walls every day.
And it's like, you know, I thought we were supposed to stay in place, you know? Yeah, Kylie Jenner, one day she's at a Calabasas house, the next day she's in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
The next day she's at her friend's house in Beverly Hills, you know. The next day, she's bought herself literally a resort compound. She just bought herself a $36 million resort compound in the Hidden Hills, which is in L.A.
How do you know this if you unfollowed all of them?
Well, because I can't believe I'm admitting this.
Oh, man.
To sum up. But I read the Daily Mail Snapchat story every day, and I have
It's
like my guilty pleasure, okay? It's trash, and I know it's trash. I'm like, honestly, how I keep up on a lot of celebrities, okay? It is what it is. Shame me all you want.
I'm not shaming you. You do you, man.
Sometimes I don't. I mean, a lot of the times I don't read the Kardashian stories because I just don't care. But then I get confused, you know? Like, why are they just traveling between their mansions? Like, I mean, you know, we're supposed to be staying in place. Like, shouldn't they be an example for us all? I don't know.
The Kardashians, yeah, they are. They are supposed to be held up as a model for behavior for our culture. But
oh God,
I mean, in a way, Peter is quite similar because he does live at movie theater.
Okay,
but I happen to know, I've been talking to Poppy, and I've heard that Peter will spend a good portion of a day in one theater and then migrate maybe to theater 12 the next day, watch a few movies in there. You know, he's treating it like his own personal kind of resort.
This is,
well, someone's got to use it, you know?
Hang on a second. I'm not just doing that, but also I got to test all the screens. I got to keep them clean. You know, I'm not going to let all this dust and stuff. This is a business, okay? This isn't a mansion. I would much rather live in a No, I definitely still want to live in a movie theater than a mansion. It's cooler.
I mean, square footage-wise, it's basically a mansion.
Right, but I don't have a pool. I don't even have a shower here. I have to use a sink, okay? It's uncomfortable.
Well, you know, you could use the mop sink.
That's gross.
Gross.
No, but it has a shower head.
Yeah, but it's gross in there.
Why?
Well, clean it up.
It's a mop sink, man. You can't clean a mop sink. It's a mop sink.
I'm going to stick. Remember when you had Noah on his hands and knees scrubbing that mop sink.
Well, yeah,
it was pretty darn white when he was finished.
Right, and then
he just had to like scrub it with some bleach.
But then the next day,
why don't you just try doing the same amount of work that you had Noah doing?
But the next day, it's dirty again. There's no sense in
who's making that mop sink dirty. Are you mopping every day?
Yeah,
that's probably moppy, huh? The living mop that you have clean up the floors.
His name is Moppo. Okay.
Yeah.
Moppo. Not Moppy.
I've heard some rumors that Moppy's been bringing other people as sort of like an entourage or something.
What?
Very strange. I think it was sort of a move to impress Dot or Peter.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not noticing like little groups of popcorn just parading around in the movie theater?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a thing, but you know, I assume that's normal. Maybe it's not normal. Maybe I should look into that. I'll look into that. Yeah.
Do you miss the movie theater, Amanda?
I miss the people at the movie theater, but I don't.
Like me, right? Yeah, mostly me.
And I don't. I don't know. Like, I really did enjoy 98% of the time I worked there.
Aww.
But also,
I also enjoyed 9 to 8%.
I'm tired, you know? Like, I'm tired a lot right now. And I just, like, I take a nap all the time. And I come home and I can lay down, you know? I work another full-time job, you know? So it's not like I'm just chilling at home watching the grass grow. So.
Outside the window.
Literally outside the window. Yep.
And then watch someone else cut it.
Actually, I don't think I've seen any lawnmowers now that I think about it.
Huh.
But I guess maybe it is still too early, right?
Yeah.
For the grass?
Yeah, it's still a little bit chilly. Grass is still waking up.
It is kind of green, though.
Yeah.
I will say the highlight of my day is watching the golf course cross the street, because apparently golfing is still open.
What? That makes no sense.
Apparently it's exercise.
Oh, whatever. Go on a walk.
Apparently, like, the clubhouse isn't open, and, like, you can't rent the carts and stuff. You have to walk.
Oh.
But
walking throughout
it's kind of fun to watch all the people.
Just watch them. I love it.
Sometimes, yeah.
I love it.
Sometimes I stand at my window, drink a glass of water, and watch people playing golf, you know?
You're a lurker. I love it.
I mean, I live here. It's not like I'm, like, you know, I'm just looking out my window.
Have you seen any, like, weird situations go on? Like, someone making out with, like, a golf club or something?
That'd be funny. No, I haven't. Although, today, I feel like, and I didn't stop taking close for work. I think I was, like, just really hungry for lunch or something. But I saw what I thought was people walking backwards with, like, their golf things on wheels. And they were walking backwards. And that was kind of weird. I was like, why are you walking backwards? But then I don't know why I wasn't curious enough to stop and be like, to figure out what they're doing, you know?
What?
That was weird.
They were walking backwards.
Kind of seems like a moment from Twin Peaks. I've been watching Twin Peaks lately.
Oh, I've never seen that show. I mean, I know what it is, but
it's on Netflix. The original two series are anyway.
I don't know if I can watch it.
It's pretty bizarre. It's
scary though. I mean, it's suspenseful, right?
It has moments of suspense and moments of creepiness, and then it has a lot of bizarre kind of soap opera, and you can't tell whether it's genuine soap opera stuff or a parody of soap opera.
Oh,
and then
man.
It's mixed in with like bizarre supernatural things.
That's great.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's an experience. I've watched it before. Don't think I'll be watching it again for a long time, though.
Yeah.
It's just a little much. But are you familiar with David Lynch?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically David Lynch, the very strange, very independent filmmaker, teamed up with another guy called Mark Frost, and they made this show. And the show just like, it fluctuates bizarrely between this FBI agent comes to a small town to investigate the murder of a teenage girl, and then you kind of get to know the small town and all the quirky people who live there, like the log lady who has a log that speaks to her, and the waitresses at the Double R Diner, and so on, and all the sort of teenage angst and all these little love triangles and things like that. And then it kind of like, there's just moments of really weird, disturbing stuff, and then just like, this really corny love stories. And then
there's aliens, right? Like, that's what? The thing. Like,
No. There's not aliens, okay. But there are sort of like spirits. And the FBI agent at one point kind of, he discovers more and more about these spirits that are interacting with the world, possibly inhabiting people, making them do things.
What?
Very interesting. And then David Lynch recently followed up with a season 3 a few years ago, 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he did 18 episodes. He directed all of them 100%, and those are much more intense and serious, and he cut a lot of the soap opera kind of elements, because he personally hates season two of Twin Peaks. He said so publicly.
Oh, wow.
He just thought
there's only two seasons? There's only two seasons originally?
Yes.
Why did
Second season is all over the place.
Like, people who like that show, I feel like they make it sound like it was on forever.
It was a very important show. It's really interesting. Like, people in the 1980s would just watch it like it was a regular TV show. I don't understand how that's possible. It's so trippy and weird.
Well, I'm sold. Kyle
McLaughlin, a David Budge favorite.
Kyle McLaughlin, yes. He's all over it. And he gets to play three different characters in The Return, the new season.
Oh.
The Return.
That's fun for him.
That's all.
Well,
Peter, what is it, Steven?
I just binged the new season on Netflix. It's actually just a new series. It's called The Midnight Gospel. It just came out on 420. It is
party.
Yeah, dude. It was a how do I describe this? It's animated. The main producer was Pendleton Ward, who also did Adventure Time. So praise to that guy. Creative man. It's about this character Clancy. He purchases a what is it even called? Let's see. It's called a multiverse simulator. Illegally purchased one, so it's malfunctioning, and so all the like universes in this computer thing are all in some apocalypse, like the world is ending because the computer's malfunctioning. So what he does is he has a space cast, a space podcast is what he calls it, and he uses an avatar and enters into that universe, that whichever planet he wants to go on, and interviews someone there. It's hilarious. And what I didn't realize is that it's actually based on a podcast. They used audio from a podcast called Duncan Trussell Family Hour. So it's a very well-known podcast of this comedian, Duncan Trussell, who also voices Clancy. So and it took me a while to realize that, because, you know, it's like, it's different between written dialogue and organic. You know, you can just tell. So you could just tell. So it was, that's when I looked it up, and it was, so they would basically pull audio from some of his podcasts as he's interviewing real people. And so when they pulled those interviews and put them into a new setting, so like, it's crazy. And honestly, they distract from each other, to be honest with you, but it's so great. Like, I kept having to rewind because I was paying attention to the animation, which is like some, you know, like dog with antlers talking, and then it's talking about how they wrote a book, and they're talking about the book, and like, wait, what? You know, it distracts from each other, but it's so unique and creative. I've never seen or watched, heard anything like this. And now I'm going to go and listen to that podcast. So it's a mix between his, what did he call it? Family Hour podcast. And then he also voice acts for the show as well. So they would like script and no script, but it's seamless. Honestly, you can't really tell unless you would like look it up like I did, but it hasn't been renewed for a second season yet, but it's doing very well. So yeah, if you got Netflix, go watch that. 20 minutes per episode. They got 8 episodes. The last one is a real tearjerker. Duncan actually interviewed his dying mom.
Oh,
and if you can imagine that on top of like just tear-jerking animation, yeah, it'll mess you up, man. Go watch it. In a good way. It'll mess you up in a good way.
Not you, Amanda. You're not allowed to.
Yeah, don't.
Probably not.
Oh,
probably
my.
Not a show I should watch at this moment.
No. I mean, you could definitely watch all the other ones, but just not that
then
one.
Then I would feel incomplete, you know?
Yeah. Just mute it. Even then, it'll probably make you cry.
Yeah,
anyway, I love it. I'm going to rewatch it just because I probably didn't catch everything because I'm trying to listen and watch this crazy animation at the same time, which is my brain no work good like that.
I could have told you that a long time ago.
Yes, be nice now.
Hey, we're brothers.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, well, that's all I have. I'm going to rewatch it, honestly, and watch Happy Feet too. So
good.
Let's do it.
And then play the Buttercast while watching Happy Feet and imagine that they're saying what we're saying. And
yes, like that. That'll be crazy funny. Do it right now. Do it.
I don't know if you know this, listeners, but this episode of the Buttercast perfectly syncs up with Gone with the Wind. So we'll talk to you next time.
You just have to play it like 3 more times in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you play it back to back, this podcast episode 3 times, it'll match up perfectly.
Who knew Gone with the Wind was so repetitive?
Yeah, no, you can predict this movie like
like that. Three times, actually.
Three times.
Yeah. All right, Butterheads. Thanks for tuning in and hanging in there throughout this crazy time.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta get out of this boat.
Yeah, sorry. I gotta build another puzzle. This will be my 17th puzzle.
You find those extra pieces yet?
No, jerk. Stop hiding them from me.
Not me.
Not you. Who's hiding the puzzle pieces?
I gotta go. Bye.
Must be Poppy, huh? All right. Toodaloo, everyone. Stay tuned for the next Buttercast. We'll probably review Happy Feet 2. Why not at this point? Okay. See ya.
Bye.
No thanks.
Coming to you from the dimly lit employee breakaway.